What's up and welcome to the Active Amputee Podcast. Everything people with a limb difference need to live an active and exciting lifestyle. I'm Bjorn Eser, the founder of and shaker and maker behind the Active Amputee. And you're listening to episode number 3 of the Active Amputee Podcast. Before we get started, I would like to say a word of thanks to Dan and Beth for their amazing support. I met them back in 2008 when I was working in East Timor, and we stayed in touch ever since. Beth's father Andy passed away in June last year. For almost 40 years, Andy had worked for the Tasmanian Prosthetic and Orthotic Service. In addition, he was involved with the International Committee of the Red Cross, offering his amazing skills and expertise to people in need in Botswana and Ethiopia, in Sudan, Pakistan and North Korea. To commemorate Andy and his legacy, Beth and Dan made a very generous donation to the Active Amputee. And I would like to dedicate the first 3 episodes of this new show to Beth's father Andy. And I would like to say a big thank you to Beth and to Dan. My journey to losing my leg, part 3. If you haven't listened to part 1 and 2 of the series, I recommend you do that now. Part 1 is all about my cancer year, about the chemotherapy, and part 2 is all about my road to recovery until new trouble was brewing. Okay, and now, ready for part 3. More trouble ahead. A very stubborn infection. I had just returned from Uganda, where I had spent the previous 3 years and a bit. Over the course of time, my endoprosthesis was causing me trouble. It seemed as if the main bolt, or the housing in which it runs, was worn out. A bit like an old door hinge that has too much clearance. And as this was the main moving part on which the artificial knee depended, it made walking increasingly harder, more and more exhausting, and from time to time very painful. So, after my return from East Africa, the idea was to quickly get it fixed and then move on to London, to take up a new job in the vibrant conflict transformation and peacebuilding organization. The surgery went well, so it seemed, but healing took longer than expected, much longer. However, at the time, that was nothing I was too concerned about. After a couple of weeks, it seemed all set. So I started my new life in the UK, a life in a new city with a new job and new responsibilities. The new job brought me regularly back to Uganda. On one of the first of these business trips, I noticed a swelling just below where my patella would be, if the endoprosthesis had one, that is. And it grew larger by the day. Not good, not good at all. It seemed I had caught an infection, something I had always been warned about. While normally an infection can be successfully treated with ordinary antibiotics, it would be much harder in my case, so I was told. Due to the large metal implant and the severely restricted circulation after my main surgery, it would be much more difficult to treat me. And the chances of actually getting on top of the infection would be much smaller. A visit to the surgery in Kampala confirmed my suspicions. The boil was full of pus, and in order to prevent it from bursting, we decided to drain it right then and there. I was given instructions on how to clean and treat the wound. Some antibiotics were prescribed, and then I headed for a coffee place to decide what to do next. By that time, I had the endoprosthesis for about 17 years. Remembering the words from the orthopedic consultant back in 1987, "You remember," he said, "it's likely to last anywhere between 5 and 15 years," I became aware of the fact that my metal knee might have reached its shelf life. In addition, I had developed a mindset of not allowing my endoprosthesis to limit me when not really necessary. So, okay, now I already see some of you shaking your heads in disbelief about what's about to come. So I decided to continue my journey and take care of the leg once I'm back in the UK. I know some of you will be shaking your heads in disbelief about this decision. 2 days later, I moved on, travelled from the capital up to the north of the country, and a few days later on to southern Sudan. I tried to keep the wound as clean as possible, But obviously, there are limits to doing so while being on the road in a tropical country during the dry season, mainly using public transport, mostly in rural areas, and often without access to clean water or basic health infrastructure. But somehow, it felt right. Back in the UK, the National Health Service wasn't much of a help. My GP initially thought that a few anti-inflammatory pills should do the job. Well, they didn't. So I decided to go back to Germany to get a proper assessment of the situation as well as start the treatment. Over the coming months, there was a lot of to and from between the UK and Germany, trying various ways to get on top of the bacterial onslaught, so to speak. While the initial round of antibiotics seemed to bring the infection down, it didn't manage to stop it. So in the end, we opted for yet another surgery, during which the antibiotics were placed right at the epicenter of the infection. However, while this initially seemed to work, the problem was back soon. Assessing my options. After some time, I was just fed up with the situation, with the ups and downs, and with the fact that my life seemed to be limited to going to work, coming home to rest, I felt constantly exhausted, and spending my spare time in one medical facility or another. That needed to change. The organization I was working with at the time was very supportive. Taking the leave I needed to focus on my leg wasn't a problem. So I dedicated a few full days of research on the internet to learn more about the options I had. After a few days, my understanding was that I had basically four possible alternatives. Somewhat simplified, they were the following. Number one, keep the infection reined in with antibiotics and otherwise do nothing for the time being. Number two, have the metal implant removed, keep the leg for 3 months in an external fixator while the leg is flushed with antibiotics, then put in a new metal implant, but this time losing the knee joint and anchoring the implant higher into the femur. Having another 3 months for healing, in which I would not be able to put any weight on the new implant. Then hoping that the infection has been beaten, the chances were roughly 70-30 I was told, before starting a new life with a stiff leg. And still with a metal implant in my body, which would be susceptible to the very problem I had just tried to solve. If the infection were still active or coming back, I would then have the metal implant high up into the femur, potentially resulting in an amputation with a very short residual limb. Number 3. This one is called a rotationplasty. Basically, you amputate the leg above the knee. And you also amputate the foot. You then connect your foot to the upper limb, but with the toes pointing to the back. Yes, it looks a bit unusual, I agree, but it has the immense advantage that over time you can learn to stretch your foot more and more so that your toes are increasingly pointing downwards. And with a bit of practice and a lower leg prosthesis, you can then use your former ankle as your new knee joint. In many ways, that's a much better option than an above-knee amputation, as you have the active control over your knee joint, but not always possible. Then, last but not least, number 4, the good old-fashioned above-knee amputation. The idea was that the loss of the leg in combination with the antibiotics would deal with the infection. As no new metal implant is needed, the risks of similar problems in the future would be minimal. Developments in the field of modern prosthetics since the late 1990s have been significant, allowed amputees to live a normal life and be able to engage in an active lifestyle. So much for my understanding from the internet research. What followed was a period in which I met up with various doctors, amputees, physiotherapists and others to learn more about the options I actually had and see which one might be the best for me. I was set on making my own decision. And for me, that meant making an informed decision. My approach was to go about it from the expected end result. I developed a pretty clear picture of how I wanted to live my life 5, 10, 15 years down the line. I was clear that I wanted to live independently and be able to work and earn my own living. I didn't want to depend on regular medical treatments or being on drugs for years. I wanted to be physically active and engage in sports I like. I wanted to develop the confidence to try out new things without being held back by worries about my health. I wanted to continue travel far and wide and off the beaten track. Those were my leading lights. This clarity about how I wanted to live my life was key to making my decision. It instantly narrowed my options down to two. Number three, the rotationplasty, and number four, the good old-fashioned above-the-knee amputation. And after an additional consultation with a specialist for the rotationplasty, it soon became obvious that due to my medical history, the rotationplasty was not a viable option. That then left me with the above-knee amputation. Finding an experienced team to trust. During this process, I often felt incredibly frustrated. Hardly any medical personnel I spoke to was willing to approach the process based on my vision for my future. That is, being able to live an active lifestyle without the constant worry about having access to a high-quality health infrastructure. For almost all of them, the highest priority was keeping the leg. Whether I would be able to use it properly afterwards and live an active and independent life seemed less important. At the same time, I was incredibly lucky to stumble across an article about a small clinic in Bavaria which had specialized in amputations. Their concept was simple: provide everything a potential amputee might need under one roof. So, in addition to being very experienced with the actual amputations, the clinic offers specialized rehabilitation for amputees from a very early stage onwards. Furthermore, they cooperate with a team of highly experienced orthotists and prosthetists that accompany the patients in their journey from the first diagnostic socket through to the final prosthesis. A one-stop shop, really, and as far as I know, the only one of its kind in Central Europe. Dr. Haas, the director of the clinic, is an above-knee amputee himself, and he used to be part of the German Paralympic skiing team. When I approached him with my questions, he was not only willing to answer all of them in detail, he also pointed out additional issues I really need to think about. He explained the pros and cons of various medical procedures, gave me a comprehensive overview of what prosthetic equipment is available through the German Health Service, and he offered to connect me to other patients, to physiotherapists and prosthetists. He strongly encouraged me to talk to them, get additional opinions and then make an informed decision. That was just what I needed, just what I was looking for. From my initial telephone conversation with Dr. Haas onwards, things went very quickly. I visited the clinic, I spoke to other amputees, some of them very happy with how things go, others still struggling with their new situation. I met up with physiotherapists and saw how good they were at getting people up and walking again. And I saw some of the new high-tech prostheses in action. Within days, I had made up my mind. For me, an amputation followed by intense rehabilitation was the best way forward. A week later, I checked in, had the leg amputated, was off the painkillers 3 days later, and celebrated my 34th birthday the following week. The amputation has been a starting point for a new and amazing phase in my life. And while I had my ups and downs, I've never regretted the decision to amputate, not a single day. Good! So much for part 3 of my journey to losing my leg. I hope you enjoyed learning a bit more about me and how I became an amputee. And from now on, this podcast will change in nature a bit. It's going to be more interviews with other amputees, people who really have to tell a story, people who are out there who are doing amazing things, people who I really like to talk to learn more and to get new ideas to live an active lifestyle, be an active amputee. Okay, so much for now. I hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the new episodes. And I would really appreciate it if you leave me a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to learn more about The Active Amputee, make sure to head over to www.theactiveamputee.org, where you find hundreds of articles from amputees for amputees. Articles filled with inspiration, information and encouragement to be active and live a rewarding life. I see you all again for the next episode. Until then, all the best. This is Bjorn from The Active Amputee.